Thank you, Brother Collins. Again, we'll say we enjoyed the teaching this morning, services over the weekend, this week. Appreciate what the Lord's doing among His people. Ruth, chapter 4. I'd like to preach to you with the help of the Lord. You know, I don't even know how much I need the Lord. I just know I need Him. I don't think we fathom how much the need is. All that we can do, the best we can do a lot of times, is just say the need is great. Amen. But oh, when we get to thinking about all the particular needs and all of our shortcomings, not only mine, but us in a church service, where our minds are wandering, and you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, just unless you just gird up the loins of your mind and just pray and seek the Lord. But the best we can do, our minds wander. Amen. I want to preach to you from an old book in the Bible called the Book of Ruth. I want to read chapter 4, verse number 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, a kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside. Sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead among his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Lest I mar my own inheritance, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Would you stretch your hand this way? Let's pray one more time this Sunday morning. Precious Heavenly Father, God, we pray, Lord, not only that you would help us, but God, we would ask that you would give us a wonderful altar service. God, that you would move this morning in these altars in a special way, that you would touch the hearts and lives of your people in a way to where we'd want to pray and see our need to pray and our dependency upon thee. And we give you the praise and the honor for it. And everyone said, Amen. I want to draw your attention again to verse number 8. The Bible says, Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. I'd like to preach to you with the help of the Lord this morning on the man who took off his shoe. The man who took off his shoe. The book of Ruth is a wonderful story. It seems like the older I get, the more I enjoy it. I guess I'm getting sentimental in my old age. And Benjamin Franklin also liked the book of Ruth. I'd read where in some of his trips, his excursions to Europe, that he would take it with him. And he would tell folks there in his fellowship that he had found a remarkable piece of Oriental literature. And he would read to them the book of Ruth, and they would just be thrilled at its literary quality and the story. And they would ask him, Where did you get such a wonderful work, a wonderful piece of literature? And he said, It's in the Bible. Amen. Sometimes we'd be surprised what's in the Bible if we'd read it. Amen. The book of Ruth is placed in the Bible just in the right place. You Bible readers will know that the book of Ruth is a tale of domestic love that illustrates God's love. And you also will know that it's placed between the book of Judges and the book of 1 Samuel. The book of Judges and the book of 1 Samuel are harsh writings. There are writings that chronicle wars and cruelty and murder and hate and backbiting and suffering and untold misery. But in the book of Ruth, placed right between them, we find a book that's written about love. Amen. And we may not realize it, but in the book of Ruth, not a single wicked, cruel, licentious person makes his scene in his appearance in the book of Ruth. Not one murder takes place. There's no war going on, but rather peace. Amen. And the storyline is of the nature of being a domestic story. Amen. Not a story of a campaign. Not a story of nations fighting against nation. It's not a murder mystery, if you will, but it's a story of love. And I'm glad that the Lord put it right where it has been. Amen. Right where He put it in the Bible. I believe it's there for a purpose. Amen. It's been the bookmarker in between Judges and 1 Samuel. Amen. It's the reprieve, if you will, or a little interlude, amen, of love in between all the hate, between all the murder, between all the backbiting. And don't we know in this world that we're living in, there's a lot of that going on. Huh? Amen. There's a lot of cruelty. There's a lot of, to coin a phrase, dog eat dog, or should I say, amen, after the Sunday school lesson, dog eat man or man eat man. Amen. There's a lot of hate in this world. But I believe that there's a place where we can get in God. I believe there's a place, spiritually speaking, that we can get, that we can find our book of Ruth. We can find that interlude. We can find that recess, if you will, of love. Can somebody shout amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The book of Ruth is a tale of disappointment. There's a famine. There's three widows. But it's also a tale of going home. I like that. Amen. Not only is it a tale of going home, but as I mentioned last night, it's a tale of loyalty. Amen. And Ruth would give her immortal words. Amen. She asked Naomi not to ask her to stop from following her. For whether thou goest, I'll go. Amen. And amen. She was going to follow her, wasn't she? She was going to go all the way. Thy people shall be my people. Wherever you stay, it'll be all right with me. Thy God shall be my God. In the cemetery that they bury you in, that's the cemetery I want to be buried in. Can somebody shout amen? Not only is it a story of loyalty, and as I mentioned prior, a story of going home, but I like this even better about it. It's a story of coming home. Amen. There's a lot of folks that have taken the notion to go home. Amen. But I like it when they get there. I like it when they finally come into the city. And the Bible said that the whole city was moved about their coming. Amen. And we find out that in this homecoming that they hardly recognize Naomi. Amen. They say, is this Naomi? And she would tell them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. Amen. For the Lord God hath dealt bitterly with me. Amen. And she would make the statement, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again. Empty. Somebody shout amen. Amen. We find that, amen, in their economy that there was a sort of a welfare system. Amen. And when Naomi and Ruth came to Bethlehem, that, amen, that they didn't have anything to make provision for themselves. That I can see that this is a tale of God's divine provision. For as she goes and she reaps, she gleans rather in Boaz's field, that he instructs his reapers that they would stick out there, that they would throw down handfuls of purpose. Amen. So she could pick up and that her and her mother-in-law could have something to eat. Can somebody shout amen? And we also find out that, amen, she is a woman that wanted to, amen, that is interesting to a certain man by the name of Boaz, as I aforementioned. And I don't believe that the women ought to ask the men to marry them, but I don't feel like it's also wrong for the women to let the men know that they're available. Amen. There are some preachers that are preaching that, amen, they don't think that the house of God was a place for courting. I suppose it's how you define courting. Amen. But if I want my boys to find their girls at the Holiness Church, what do y'all think about it? Amen. Of course, I've mentioned before, I don't want Sarah to ever find anybody. I want to be the only man in her life. Amen. But as far as my boys, I want them to find a girl at a Holiness Church. Amen. And here we find out that Ruth makes herself available to Boaz. She's younger than Boaz. Amen. Boaz has stayed right there, and he probably feels like, because she's such a beautiful woman, that she wouldn't be interested in him, but she makes herself available. Amen. She doesn't do anything wrong. Amen. For her reputation was that she was a virtuous woman. Come on now. Amen. And but she makes herself available, and Boaz takes her up on it. And he goes and realizes, because of their circumstances, amen, that there is a process that they must go through. Brother Richard Cunningham, there was a form that they must adhere to. Amen. There was an order in which things must be carried out. And he knew that he wasn't the next of kin, but he knew that there was one who existed. And he set out to find him. And he went to the gate of the city. Amen. The gate of the city was sort of like the equivalent of our Walmart today. I mean, if you want to find anybody, go to Walmart. Eventually, they'll be there. Amen. You can go to any city in the country. And if you want to find out there's any holiness churches in that area, just go camp out at Walmart. And you'll, amen, if there's any holiness folks, they'll be there eventually. Probably sooner than later. Amen. So he went to the gate of the city. Amen. And this very fella that he'd been looking for came by. And when he came by, he said, "Hey, fella, come over here. I need to talk to you. You know that how our brother Elimelech's wife, Naomi, has come from Moab. And she has brought with her that Moabitess damsel by the name of Ruth. And she's got a parcel of ground that needs to be sold. And you're the next fella in line." And when this fella first heard this, amen, I suppose he was thrilled. It's always, you know, that good to be the next in line. That's the reason why so many of our factories, amen, have this seniority deal, you know. It doesn't matter if you're qualified or not. If you're next in line, they'll take the job whether they like it or not, because they're just next in line. We like to be next in line. Amen. So he was next in line, and he said, "I'll do it. I'll buy the parcel of ground. Amen. I'll take care of the situation." And Boaz said, "Well, if you're going to do it, I must tell you the detail of it. There's more to it than buying a piece of ground. Amen. Ruth, the Moabitess damsel, amen, has also come. And you must be a husband to her and raise up a child in the name of our brother, that the name of our brother might live on." And when this fellow, this next of kin, heard this, he backed off and he said, "Oh, wait a minute here. Amen. If it was just a piece of ground, I might could handle that. Amen. But I can't go any farther." Amen. I don't know exactly what his circumstances was. I know he does mention his inheritance and marrying his own inheritance. And I don't know all there is to know about it. Amen. But for some reason or not, amen, he could not be the kinsman redeemer. And there's so many wonderful things in the book of Ruth. But, you know, when I got to this story, the Lord dealt with my heart. Amen. Amen. About this fella who could not redeem. About this fella who wasn't able to redeem. Can somebody shout amen? I can't point any fingers at him, because there's been a lot of things that I couldn't do. Amen. I wish I could save people. I would, but I can't. Amen. I wish I could heal people. I would if I could. I believe I would. Amen. But I can't do it. Amen. There's many things in our lives that we cannot do. And this kinsman, this next of kin, I mean, he could have went down in the annals of history. Amen. As one of the heroes of faith. He could have been the savior of the day, if you will. He could have been the very one in which, amen, there'd been another son raised up in Israel that would carry on the precious name, amen, of his inheritance. Amen. But he would have to confess, "I cannot do it." You know, some of our worst problem is that we will not confess that we're unable to do it. Amen. I mean, we want to boast, and amen, we want to, in our pride, say that we can do all things. Amen. But let me tell you, friend, amen, there's not a whole lot in this world that you can do. Come on now. Amen. You hear me? I mean, you couldn't breathe your next breath. And I know you've heard all that before, and that's old hat to you. That's an old, old story. Amen. But we think we can do so much. But I find myself at the mercy, amen, of a graceful God in heaven. Come on now.
hell. Amen. And this fellow found out that he wasn't qualified. He may have been called upon. Amen. It may have been his turn. His number may have come up. Amen. But I like what I see in this man. Amen. He says, I can't do it. How much farther would we get in the Lord if we realize we can't do it? How much better would our services and our ministry be if we realize that, God, there's just some things, matter of fact, most things that we cannot do. Amen. I found out. Amen. And I try to keep reminding myself, I can't preach a revival. I can't have a revival. Amen. If it's left up to me, it'll not get done. Amen. I found out for sure. Amen. I couldn't pastor a church. If it was left up to me, I couldn't get it done. Amen. But oh, there's something special about those who will humble themselves and realize that we have a dependency on a higher power. Come on now. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. That we are all failures. Amen. That we all are, amen, unqualified. Amen. That we are all without ability and talent to get the job done. Amen. But standing in the recesses and in the shadows, amen, was a man who could do the job. A man who could get it accomplished. A man by which even the seed, amen, would carry on. Would you lift your hands to heaven and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. I forgot to mention, as I read in my text this morning, that Boaz, when he went to the gate, not only did he call this man to come and sit down beside of him, but he also got some witnesses to come. 10 of them, to be exact. Amen. To come and to witness this transaction that was taking place at the gate, that they could overhear this conversation. And even with witnesses looking on, you know, there's a lot of things that we omit our failures in when it's just maybe one-on-one, just between us and God. Amen. That's right. Amen. And then we put on our spiritual robe when we come to church. Amen. Why? Because we have, the tendency of wanting to be spiritually preeminent, amen, in our churches. Huh? Amen. But he called 10 witnesses. I want you to witness this. And I like what I see about this man who could not redeem. Amen. I can see his selfishness. He's very unselfish in his life, knowing that he could get in there and take a shot at it and make a mess of it, knowing that he was unqualified to perform the task. He could have said, bless God, it's my turn. I'm going to take it. Come on. Amen. I've done that a few times trying to sing a song. I've done that a few times trying to preach a message. Amen. Just because I was called on don't mean I was the man of the hour. And neither does that mean that for you too, my friend. Woo! Amen. There's been times, amen, it's been mentioned already in the Sunday school lesson, I should have given place and preferred my brother. Have me preach a little while. And this is what this man does. Amen. And in the midst of all of them, he sits down or already being seated, and he reaches down and he grabs hold of his shoelace if he had one. Amen. He unloosens it up. You know, we wear them too tight most of the time in our lives. And he drew off his shoe, the Bible said. Amen. And that was, everybody knew what that meant. That meant he couldn't do it. That meant he was unable to do it. Come on now. He drew off his shoe and he handed it to Boaz and said, there, I'm unable to do it. I'm not your man. Amen. I may have been next in line, and I can see his unselfishness. Oh, how we have a tendency to be selfish. How we have a tendency to look out for number one. How we have a tendency to want to be up front. Can somebody shout amen? But this fellow was willing, amen, in his humility and his unselfishness, amen, to take off his shoe and give it to the man who can. Woo! Come on! Amen. I find a lot of things in the Bible that, amen, this sort of just rubs me the wrong way. When the Bible speaks of loving God with everything, with your mind, body, soul, and strength. Amen. When the Bible speaks of loving your neighbor as yourself. Man, I tell you what, I get to thinking about that. And amen. And when I read that and I hear somebody preaching on that, I say, my, that's holiness. That's a lot harder than getting a good haircut. That's a lot harder than wearing my sleeves down to my knuckles. Amen. That's a lot harder than, amen, shedding off the things of the world, not going to King's Island and kicking the TV out of the living room. amen, to love my neighbor as myself. Amen. Amen. And when I read in the Bible where when a man smites you on the cheek, that you're to turn the other cheek also. Amen. I'll just have to admit, amen, that's a little tough to take. Brother Jamie Carter, that's holiness. Amen. I said that's holiness. Amen. When I read in the Bible, in all things, it was the will of God, Paul said, for you, amen, to give thanks in all things. Amen. And when I'm at the hospital, amen, and a little three-year-old girl is laid in her mama's lap, and they disconnect her from all the equipment, amen, and I can see her failing, and she dies right in her mama's arms, and I read the Bible, said I'm supposed to give thanks for that. Amen. Brother Barker, I have problems with that sometimes. Amen. I fail, but you know what I found out? If I'll take off my shoe and give it to God, He'll give me the grace, amen, to fulfill the word of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You think you can walk this way yourself, my friend? Amen. You're badly mistaken. The best thing we can do in our holiness churches, amen, is to sit down. Amen. Loosen our laces. Amen. And kick off our shoe and say, God, I can't live this life. Amen. I can't pastor this church. Amen. I can't conduct a revival meeting. Amen. I'm going to admit and I'm going to confess I can't do it. Amen. But take it off your shoe and hand it to God. Amen. There was a Boaz waiting in the wings. And as soon as he was handed that shoe, I could see him say, I'll do it. There was a man that was able. There was a man that was capable. Can somebody lift a hand to heaven and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I think of David. Amen. When he was forbidden to build the temple. Amen. But he didn't forbid his son to build it. Matter of fact, he made preparation. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. What was he doing? He was taking off his shoe. Huh? Amen. And later on, amen, when he would realize that his son Absalom was against him, and Ahithophel, his greatest counselor, was on his side. Amen. I can see him going up the mountainside. Amen. With tears running down his cheek. And the Bible said he went barefoot. Woo! How'd he go? He went barefoot. Amen. I can read about Moses when he was called to preach the revival down in Egypt. Amen. When he seen the bush that was on fire and God was speaking to him out of the bush. When he drew up close to that bush, Brother Allen. Amen. You know what the angel told him? Take off your shoe. Amen. For the ground which thou standest on is holy ground. Amen. I can hear Joshua. Amen. He's about ready to come up against Jericho. Amen. And he's by the way and he sees a man. And he don't recognize who the man is. And he said, are you for us? Are you against us? I reckon he was ready if he was against him to engage him in battle. Amen. But when that man said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host, he fell down on his face. But you know what the captain of the Lord's host required of Joshua? He required for him to take off his shoe. Now, would you listen to me? Amen. In David's case, there was rebellion and ungodly counsel that needed to be overthrown. In Moses' case, amen, there were some people that needed to be set free. Amen. In Joshua's case, there were some walls that needed to come down. Amen. Come on now. I said, come on now. In all three cases, these men realized, I've done as far as I can go. I've done all that I can do. Amen. So I'll take off my shoe and leave it up to you, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I'll leave it up to God. Amen. I'll let him tear down the wall for me. Amen. I'll let him set the captive free for me. Come on now. Hallelujah. He drew off his shoe. Amen. He sure enough did. Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We preach. We try to preach. Amen. We sure do. Amen. And I suppose you'd have to give us E for effort sometimes. Amen. At least while we're preaching, we sweat a lot. That don't make no difference, I don't reckon. Amen. If you want to sweat or if you don't sweat when you preach, I don't guess it matters. I just happen to sweat. Me and Brother Barker sweat. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. But oh, my friend. Amen. Too many times when we preach, amen, we hide the best part of the preacher. The Bible said amen, that there come a time that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's a wonderful scripture. That's a wonderful promise. Amen. You can count on it. Amen. But then there's a series of questions asked. Amen. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Huh? And then how shall they believe on him? Amen, Brother Rick Bradley. In whom they have not heard. Question number 3. And how shall they hear except there be a preacher? Woo! Amen. I'm for God's preachers. Amen. Pastor Collins has taught me to be for the preacher. He's always been for the preacher. Huh? Amen. Preachers are important. Amen. But a lot of time I find in my ministry, I'm not throwing stones at anybody else, but a lot of times, Brother Barker, I find that I cover up the most beautiful part about me. It ain't how I comb my hair. It ain't how I growl my voice. It ain't how high of a note I can hit. Huh? It ain't how loud I can be and how much of this microphone I can get down my tonsils. Huh? Amen. That ain't the prettiest part of me. Amen. It ain't how I walk. Amen. But the prettiest part of a preacher is when he'll stoop down and take off his shoes. Amen. For in the same scripture reading, we'll find that the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. I believe we'd be more effective. Amen. When we take off our shoe and say, God, amen, my little cute story won't do it. Amen. My little antidote won't do it. Amen. My 3-point sermon, as Zoe Howard would say, 3 points in a poem, amen, won't do it. Amen. But it's going to take Almighty God. Amen. It's going to take a move of the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the anointing. Amen. That falls from heaven. Woo! Would you lift a hand?